the backyard, your tree branch was Excalibur. The trash can lid, your shield. You had everything you need to defeat those big, scary giants. Back then, you were courageous and strong. The giants didn't stand a chance. So what changed? New giants overshadow us now. We're anxious about everything. We never seem to have enough of anything. We can't let go of what that person did to us. We don't measure up to everyone around us. Our giants are facing us down again. Will we turn and run? Or will we stand and fight? Because freedom is on the other side of victory, and giants must fall.
Well, hey, good morning. Welcome to Bridgewater. If I haven't gotten a chance to meet you yet, my name is Tim. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are really excited you guys are here with us, especially as we start into week two of Giants Must Fall. Now, a number of years ago, I went on a wilderness trip, and I typically would do those with high school students, but this time I'm doing it with a group of adults. And we're up there in Canada in Algonquin Park, and it's May. Now, May is typically like when it starts to get warmer, but not in Canada. Like the ice is still thawing. And so we're on this wilderness trip, and we're doing canoeing, backpacking, and we finish up this trail, put our canoes down, and we have arrived at what's called Burnt Island. And as we arrive at this lake is a long, narrow lake, and it's like a wind tunnel. The wind just kind of rushes right through it. And so as we arrive, we see another group of like college kids, bigger guys, and they got their shirts off, and they're all like thinking they're big guys, and they push off. And this lake is always choppy, but today is especially choppy. It's like white caps weather. Waves are just crashing and splashing and making a huge mess. And I'm like, man, they're nuts. And I'm thinking, like, what do we do? So I'm like, well, Tim, like, don't be scared. So I looked at my guys. I'm like, guys, put your life jackets on. Now, we always have life jackets in the canoe, but they're uncomfortable. They're not fun to wear. But this time it's like, okay, you got to put your life jacket on, okay? And I start rearranging the canoe groups because I need at least one experienced canoer in each canoe if we're going to have a fighting chance. I look at the guys, I look back at the lake, and I go, okay, one more rule. Like, we have to go with the waves or against the waves, but do not turn sideways. If your canoe goes sideways and a wave hits it, you're going over, all right? So we got everybody situated. And again, these are big waves. The wind is fierce right in our face. And so I get in my canoe, push off, and we go. Like, we're just paddling. And we're going as hard as we can. And our canoe is going up and down, up and down. Waves crashing in. And all of a sudden, we just feel like we're going nowhere. And so every now and then, I just kind of look over my shoulder. We got a total of four canoes. I'm in one of them. I give a quick count. One, two, three. Good. Okay, keep on going. We're just going as hard as we can into the waves, into the waves. I look over. One, two. One, two. Oh, we got a canoe over. I see two guys in their packs, and they're bobbing up and down in the water. And the water is ice cold. And fear and panic begins to flood into my mind. Because now I'm terrified for these guys. I'm terrified for me and my canoe because I know, okay, we have to spin this canoe around and go back. And in doing so, we also might go sideways. We also might go into this freezing cold water. And all the thoughts rush into my mind. Like, what if they don't make it? What if they get hypothermia? What if one of them drowns? What are you going to tell their families? How much is a new canoe anyways? And all of those thoughts begin to flood into my mind. And I'm nervous. I'm scared. So what do you do when fear and worry flood into your minds? What do you do when you're confronted with those things? And maybe you're here and you're like, yeah, but I don't really wrestle with fear. I don't really get worried or anxious. And I would say that might be accurate. But fear shows up under so many other words. We just call it pressure or stress or dread, or I'm living on edge. Or maybe it comes in the shape of guilt, right? You're afraid of being rejected. You're afraid of being found out. It shows up in shame. You're afraid of something being found out. You're afraid of somebody knowing what's really happened in your life. Or shows up in feeling guilty because you fear judgment. But I would say it also shows up in anger. That you value something so much, and when that something is threatened or taken away, it decides, I'm going to fight for this. And it shows up, and you're angry. You're not running away, but you're fighting. And maybe you're here, and you're like, Tim, I don't really have giants. And I bet if we began to unpack some things that have happened in your life, we'd look in some corners, we'd look in some closets, and we'd discover that there are some things that are keeping you and I from really fully knowing God. And it might be sins, it might be habits, it might be patterns, it might be obstacles, it might not necessarily be fear, but there are things going on in your life and my life that are keeping us from really fully living for God. And today, we're going to wrestle down this giant called fear. And in order to start, we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you weren't here last week, we started with this passage, and we're going to keep launching off of this passage. But here's the context. See, the Philistines are the enemy, or one of the enemies of Israel. They're on one side of a valley. You go down the valley on the other side, and there's Israel. Israel's whole army is camped out there, and they're staring across the valley and see the Philistines. And not only do they see the Philistines, but the Philistines have sent out their biggest, baddest warrior. This is one of the greatest underdog stories ever, of a young shepherd boy named David who comes out and fights this 9-foot-9-inch giant named Goliath. And listen to this. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'll read verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I'm the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." And so Goliath is taunting them, he's shouting them, but notice their response in verse 11. When Saul, who is their king, who's a bigger warrior, head and shoulders over everybody else in Israel, when Saul and the Israelites heard this, that's a key word in this text, when they heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. When they heard what they heard, fear came into their lives. When they heard what they heard, they were terrified. Panic came over. Panic and fear and worry began to run amok in their lives, and they are absolutely freaking out. Fear has this soundtrack that likes to play, because Goliath had been there, shouting, taunting them, calling them out for 40 days and 40 nights. For 40 days, they heard this. For 40 nights, they heard this soundtrack play over and over and over again. And they have nothing to do but freak out. And they had time to go back and sit and process this and think about who God is and what God is like. But they heard this. And notice also their response in verse 24. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. They are absolutely terrified. And I know that fear is not necessarily always wrong or sinful. Fear actually can be a good thing. It's a defense mechanism. It keeps you safe when you walk by strange dogs that try to bite your leg. It keeps you safe when you're driving on icy or snowy roads, right? It keeps you safe when you meet a stranger in a dark alley. It keeps you safe. It has this fight or flight mechanism that I think that is built into you, right? You size up what's in front of you and you decide, can I take this on or am I going to run away? And what God does not want you and I to be is to be consumed and paralyzed and controlled by fear and worry. And so for 40 days and for 40 nights, they hear this giant begin to call them out. They hear this giant play this soundtrack, and it's over and over and over again. And I'm telling you, you and I are not alone. There's an adversary who wants to play this soundtrack of fear and worry and angst in your minds. And he, if you're not careful, he's going to provide the soundtrack to your life. Now, don't be alarmed. This is just a cassette tape player, okay? So, but if you're not careful, you will wake up and this soundtrack will become gospel truth in your life. And you will wake up and you will hear this. Soundtrack that plays in your mind, and sometimes it starts off first thing in the morning. Sometimes it shows up randomly in the middle of the day or as you're trying to go to sleep, but it doesn't have to be this way. That soundtrack of fear and worry continues to tell you that God doesn't care. You're not good enough. You won't make it. You're a loser. There's no hope. But sometimes it's not necessarily the adversary at all, right? We're really good at sabotaging ourselves. I don't know about you, but I talk to myself a lot, okay? I don't always answer myself, but those conversations and those old conversations just kind of play on a loop. Or I replay old interactions with other people in my family, from church, from work, from whatever. And that soundtrack has a way of playing. And sometimes it is the adversary. Sometimes he has a way of taking advantage of a bent that I might have to try to control things, to make sure everything works out perfectly, to make sure that nothing ever goes wrong. Sometimes the adversary has a way of taking advantage of maybe a way you were raised, right? You were raised in a home and a family that was filled with fear and worry. And that's just part of what you've seen. You've learned. You've grown to that. But I'm not saying it's all the devil made me do this, but sometimes it is him, and sometimes we're really good at playing this soundtrack all on our own. The reality is, there often is a soundtrack, and it shows up in our lives. I mean, we know this voice. God knows you and I are going to face things that are fearful. He doesn't want you to be paralyzed by that. It doesn't have to be this way. So how do we stop the soundtrack? Well, let's go to Mark chapter 6, because in Mark chapter 6, Jesus does some really cool things in pairing fear and faith. And I want you to see this, because Jesus has just finished up a full day of ministry. He's just finished up feeding over 5,000 people. Him and the disciples and many others have been doing ministry, working and serving all day. All of a sudden, they've packed up everything. Dusk is coming, it's getting dark, and he sends them off into a boat onto the Sea of Galilee. Take a look at Mark chapter 6, verse 45. immediately after this, that is after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Jesus knows everything that's going to happen on the Sea of Galilee, knows that they're going to face this incredible storm. He knows that the soundtrack of fear and worry is going to play into their minds. He knows that they're going to be terrified, that they're going to freak out, that they're going to struggle in this sea, that they're going to struggle in this storm. They're going to be fighting the waves and the wind and probably each other and probably the thoughts in their minds. And Jesus knows all of that. Yet, he insists they go into this boat by themselves. And notice what time of day it is. Verse 47 says, it's late that night. Probably somewhere between 5 and 8 p.m. And the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. I think sometimes we read verses like that, and we go, yeah, I know what it feels like to be alone. It feels like Jesus is nowhere in the vicinity, that I've been left all alone. And you can interpret that one of two ways. One, you can look at that verse and you go, yeah, I get that. God who cares, God who knows, wants nothing to do with me, and I'm all here by myself, and he's all alone. Or you can interpret that, you can go, okay, Jesus, who knows everything, who sees everything, who cares, who hears, knows you're going through this storm, knows that you're going through this difficulty, knows that you're going through this trial, and he's not worried. He's not freaking out. He's not panicked. It seems like he's just kind of all on his own, doing his own thing. And maybe that's a road worth traveling down, that Jesus is not freaking out over what's happening in your life or mine. And so maybe I don't need to be worried either. Whatever it is, it's late. They've been rowing, and it feels like they're going nowhere. They're battling the wind, battling the storm. It kind of feels like one step forward, two steps backwards. And as they're rowing, they're really not making any progress. Look at verse 48. He saw that they were serious. They were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on water. He intended to go past them. So if they started somewhere, we don't know the exact time. We just know it's late at night. If they started around 8 p.m. and now it's 3 a.m., they could be rowing for 7 hours on the Sea of Galilee, which is not very big. Should have taken them 1 or 2 hours to cut right through that. But imagine working a full day, finishing your work. It's late at night. It's 8 p.m. You get in a boat, and not only are you rowing with your buddies, but you're rowing for several hours until 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, nobody should be up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And yet these guys are rowing, fighting the storm of their life. And all of a sudden they see Jesus walking on the water, just as if his feet were hitting the pavement. He's making his way across towards them, and they're struggling. And look at how they respond. Verse 49. But when they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him, but Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. Take courage. I am is here. That's amazing, right? Because they're freaking out, right? And there was an old superstition in Israel that when violent storms arose on the Sea of Galilee, that it was connected to a ghost. And so there were ghost stories even way back then. And so they're in the midst of this storm, probably in their minds thinking, we're going to die. Why didn't we stay with Jesus? Right? The soundtrack probably started for them. Why didn't we stay on shore? Why didn't we wait for the storm to pass? Why did we leave? Why didn't we leave earlier? We're not going to make it. We're going to drown. This boat is going down. And they're probably thinking, oh man, this is a ghost. They see Jesus. Now they're like, yep, there's a ghost. And they totally panic. Fear and worry. The soundtrack has started in their minds. If only we had stayed with Jesus. If only we had been earlier on this boat. What if we don't make it? What if we don't get back to our friends and our families? What if Jesus doesn't really care? What if that's really a ghost? What if we all die today? And the thing is, Jesus says, don't be afraid. And he's connecting fear and value, right? Because fears show up when the things we value are threatened. And so he says, don't be afraid. It's not a rebuke. It's actually him coming to them with care and compassion. Don't be afraid because I am is here. And typically, fear and the things we value or things we treasure are two sides to the same coin. So if I'm afraid of people's rejection, I'm going to value their approval. If I'm afraid of getting hurt, I value comfort. And these guys are afraid for their lives. They think that the storm is bigger than God. They think that Jesus is nowhere to be found. They think that Jesus doesn't care. They're afraid for their lives. They think they're going to die. If you fear physical pain, you probably desire or value or treasure comfort. And the interesting thing is, Jesus says, guys, don't be afraid because I am here. Which is really interesting because if you are familiar with your Bible at all, in Exodus chapter 3, Moses sees this bush and it's on fire. And he's like, that's kind of weird because the bush is on fire, but it's not really being consumed. Let me check that out. Moses walks over to this burning bush. It's not actually a burning bush. It's God showing up in the form of fire. And Moses begins to have a conversation with God. And God tells him, I want you, Moses, to go do something for me. And Moses is like, well, who should I say sent me? And God speaks to Moses and he says, I am has sent you. Say that I am has sent you. And it's interesting because Jesus comes to these young Jewish boys on the boat and he says, don't be afraid. I am is here. You can take courage. You can bank on this. You can find comfort and hope and put your confidence in who I am. This storm is big, but God is bigger. And so the antidote to fear is faith. And Jesus is telling these guys in the boat, hey, trust me. Put your confidence in me. Don't worry about the storm. Don't worry about the fear. Don't worry about what might happen. I am is here. And so when fear and worry and stress and pressure begin to flood in and dread kind of sneaks into your mind and in your heart, we've got to start shifting gears and go, okay, what is true about God, right? If the antidote to fear is faith, how do I trust God right now? And God is coming to them and saying, look, I'm the good shepherd. You need a good shepherd day and night. Follow me. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm in control. That soundtrack says things like, you're not enough. But you've got to shift it to, no. Here's what's true. I'm forgiven. I'm pleasing to God. He's the good shepherd. He's taking care of me. He's faithful. He'll continue to be faithful. And remind yourself, you've got to shift that whole soundtrack over. And so, notice what happens next in verse 51. Then Jesus, he climbed into the boat and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed, right? Because Jesus had completely taken care of that storm. And here's what I know is true about you and I. We talk to ourselves a lot. We listen to ourselves a lot. And here's what Paul Tripp says about that no one talks to you more than you do, right? No one is more influential in your life than you are, because no one talks to you more than you do. And so that soundtrack that keeps playing over and over and over again, sometimes it might come from the adversary, sometimes it's our own doing. And everything we do, everything we say is worship. Because you and I are hardwired to worship, and how we respond to things like the storms or giants or things that don't go our way when we lose control, all of that is worship. And so how do we respond to this soundtrack? How do we stop it? By understanding that the soundtrack of faith really is worship. And I'll say worship is far broader than what we do here on Sunday morning. Worship is far broader than singing. And those are elements of worship. But when I was in that canoe, and we were trying to make our way across Burnt Island, and I saw that we had a canoe flipped over, I had to make a decision. We had to go back. We paddled over there as quickly as we can. We had a couple other canoes get there, got the guys out into those canoes. I went over there, grabbed their packs, threw them into my canoe, and fought with that canoe. And I had to decide, okay, am I going to flip my own canoe trying to rescue this canoe, or am I just going to cut it loose? And when it comes to fear and worry, you have to step back and go, okay, what am I responsible for? And just do that. Just get the packs out. Just get the guys in the canoe and get to shore. That is worship. And trust all of the results to God. That's worship. Let that sunken canoe go. If their clothes are wet, let it go. So many times when fear and worry sneak in and the soundtrack begins, we want to take care of everything. We want to control everything. And all the what ifs and the if onlys begin to flood in. And you need to step back and go, okay, what am I responsible for right now? Do that. As a dad, as a mom, as a worker, as a grandparent, as a son, as a daughter, take care of that responsibility and entrust all of the rest. That is worship. And we've got to begin to remind ourselves that He is good, He's full of grace, mercy, and kindness, and He is the good shepherd. So what? What do we do? We can turn on a new soundtrack by meditating on Psalm 23. If you've never read Psalm 23, you should do that this week. It is an amazing psalm. It's not about changing your circumstances. It's not about changing what's happened in your life or what's going on right now. But it's recognizing right now, Jesus is the good shepherd. We got to remind ourselves, we got to start a brand new soundtrack by reminding ourselves, He cares for me. He meets me with my needs. He feeds me. He helps me. He takes care of me. And I've got to start that brand new soundtrack, and I've got to begin talking to myself, preaching to myself over and over and over again. But not only that, next, here's what I need to do. When I face fears, the crucial question, the big question is, what does God want me to do? He wants you to worship. He wants you to lean in to the Good Shepherd. Sometimes that happens with singing. Sometimes that happens by meditating on Scripture. Sometimes it happens by praying with somebody. Sometimes it happens by serving. But whatever you say and do, that's worship. But I know music is powerful. And oftentimes I find myself in situations that are difficult or frustrating or worrisome. Take out my AirPods, I plug those in, go on to Spotify, and I find a playlist and I just listen to that. And so if you need to find a new soundtrack, we have one. It's on Spotify, it's free, it does come with ads. You can pay for a pro version without ads. But if you're looking for a new soundtrack that will help you, then scan that QR code and start replacing that soundtrack with something else and lean into the Good Shepherd this week. Let me pray with you. God, we recognize you're not only the good shepherd, you're the one that sees, you're the one that cares, you're the one that takes care of us, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for your grace and your mercy. But I know that there are many people here in this room today that are wrestling with fears, worries, panic, and they show up unannounced, and they have a way of consuming our lives. We know you're here. We know you're everywhere. You're in this room. You're at home. You're in the car with us. And so today, would you give us the courage and boldness to lean into the Good Shepherd? Would you help us replace that old soundtrack? Think upon things that are true, pure, holy, lovely, and meditate on the fact that you see us and care for us. Pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.